Oh, we thank you, Father. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord my Father. We thank you for your faithfulness to your promise, to your word. We come to hear your word, to leave with a deposit and with understanding we didn't have. With revelation, open up our hearts. Remove the obstacles to our understanding. And we thank you for that. For every single one of us, let us speak as the very oracles of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We will eventually get to 2 Corinthians 5:7, if you want to turn there. Four times the scripture says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let me ask you a dumb question, but how much living do you do in 24 hours? Huh?
24 hours worth.
So every minute of every day you're living by faith. Now that's opposed to 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says we walk by faith and not by sight. Here's my standard response. Sight is for red lights. But it isn't for determining what God is saying. And it isn't going to help you if you're walking by faith. You're not walking by sight. Sight is the whole realm of the physical senses. It includes your hearing and what you feel. And we're going to walk by faith. Now, walking is like 24 hours a day you're living. We're going to live by faith. We walk by faith. Walking is normal. Everybody, unless they have some kind of disability, is walking. Everybody's walking. So when we walk by faith, that says faith is something we do all the time. 24 hours a day, we have a faith walk. Faith is when we depend upon the faithfulness of God. We depend upon who He is and what He has said, and we don't let sight throw us off. Now, throughout the scripture, and in your life too, I'm sure in mine, we have often started in faith and then made a detour by sight. Sometimes it's a financial detour, and we become real dependent on what we can do or on our own lack or what we don't have. Sometimes it's pain that causes a detour. Sometimes it's just medical science. You don't have to write that down. But I've been detoured several times. I have a wonderful doctor. And God is not opposed to doctors, but whatever you do by faith. You do from your spirit. You do from your heart. You do from your inner man. And I don't hesitate, and they know that at the clinic. They know that. To say I'm not doing that. Because I'm going to put God first and God's word first, and what He tells me to do is always first. And it's by following God, by walking by faith and not by sight. Now, Abraham, I'm going to give you some examples, was from Ur of the Chaldees. Bring me a marker. I'm going to draw a map. I am going to draw a map. Ur of the Chaldees is 600 and somewhat miles east of Jerusalem. You got that? It's as far as from here
about to
Raleigh, right? About 650. Yeah. That's probably North Carolina. Now here's the Mediterranean Ocean, and here's Jerusalem, and here's Ur over here. That's where Abraham was living when God called him. Now this is desert. You know, teachers are detailed people. I don't apologize for that. That's what God calls them for. So they can't go this way. God says, leave Ur, leave your family, and come to Haran. Haran is up here. You know how long it'd take to walk to Raleigh if you're real good and you're speedy and you don't take any rest stops? Almost 10 hours. And this is desert. So they're going to go this way. They're actually coming to Canaan. I can't remember if I know how to spell that. But they come this way because this is the Euphrates River. Now they're following God one step at a time. They know they're going here, but they have to get there. And so they're going to go down the Euphrates River. That provides them with water. And they're going to end up in Haran. And in Haran, they made residence. Now, Abraham was a very, very, very wealthy man. And when he left Ur, Babylon is right up here. You know Babylon is up here somewhere, about out here. When they left Ur of the Chaldees to travel, he took his dad and his nephew Lot. Now, see, every step of the way, if we're going to live by faith, we have to live by divine direction. And if God doesn't speak, you're not ready to move yet. You got that part. Because sometimes what causes us to be distracted is we get a little antsy, you know? You think, see, I got to do something. It's time to do something. We better do something. Yeah, I have a clue for you what you're going to do if God doesn't speak. Sit down. Don't move. Because when you do move, you get out of sync with the orders of heaven. And we don't want to be out of sync. Have you ever been out of sync? I've been out of sync. We don't want to ever do that again. Now, let me turn to Genesis. He's going to stay in Haran, or maybe Haran, what do I know, until his father dies. And then when his father dies, he's going to come down into Canaan, and the first stop, he's going to build an altar to the Lord. I think it would be interesting in that century to determine what kind of altar that he built. But he's going to build an altar for the Lord. See, there's things we don't know, historical facts that are very important. You think of Joseph as a carpenter, but he was in a section of the world that had almost no trees. Right. He was not a lumber carpenter. He was using stone. And the manger the baby laid in would have been stone. See, you didn't know that, did you? And so he's going to stop there. His father dies, and he's going to go into Canaan. He's headed down that way, and he's going to build, so we don't know what kind of altar it was, but he built an altar. Then he goes to the next city, and he builds an altar. He's talking to God and following Jehovah, following the God. Now, Jehovah is God of the Old Testament. Jesus comes as the Son of God in order to bring redemption. Now, when the just live by faith, are you with me? The just live by faith. The just is provided by the blood of the Jesus sacrifice and by his resurrection. Just in the Greek language, I don't know why it's this way. It just is. The word just and right are the same word. They're not different words. They're not different concepts. If you're just, you're right. If you're right, you're just. If you're righteous, you're justified. If you're justified, you're righteous. It's all one thing. And so he's going to, the just shall live by faith. That's provided for you by the shed blood of Jesus, by your faith in what Jesus had done, by your knowledge of his resurrection, by your confessing him as resurrected Lord, you become just. And once you step into the kingdom of God, you're no longer dominated by sight. You're dominated by thus saith the Lord. You're dominated by your faith in what God had to say. God is faithful to his word. Now, he's going to, what I want you to see is the distractions. Did you notice life has distractions? Pain is quite a distraction. I've been there. Several years ago, I had a sciatic nerve problem. Wayne packed me in ice, and then middle of the night, he got up and changed the ice. Never been in such pain and agony in my life. It's easy when you're in pain. It's easy when you have something pending to jump ship and to turn loose of the promise of God. But we're never going to turn loose, because in turning loose, meditation brings manifestation. If you're meditating on your pain and your lack and your loss, you're going to cause an increase. What you meditate in is going to increase and begin to dominate you. So I've got to turn loose of my concept, my idea, my meditation, and go every time back to the Word. Now, Proverbs 4 says, we focus on the Word, we attend to it, is the word used in the Scriptures. Proverbs 4:20, we attend to it, we listen carefully, we watch carefully, and that word that, see, we're meditating in it, we're keeping it stirred up in our heart, that word is going to bring, it says, life and health. It doesn't say life and healing. It says life and health. And 3 John says, God wants you to prosper and be in health. See, so what we've done, we've taken an arrow. You remember the story in the Old Testament where he told the king to shoot the arrows through the wind, and he shot them like, you know, he didn't do very much with them. And he said, you could have had victory. See, if he had pulled that bow back and aimed it, and he would have been a marksman, because most of the men of that day, especially the men in authority, would have been marksmen. And he didn't get everything he needed because he didn't draw the bow back. And see, when I get in the Word, I have to draw the Word back, and I have to make a word deposit. And word deposit is made in the Spirit. Now, you got the Mediterranean? Good. You're a spirit being living in a physical body. We've done this many times. The spirit man is called the inward man by the Apostle Paul. And then you have the body, which is called members, or it's called the outward man. Outward man. Now, we have a dilemma here, and we don't want to meditate on our dilemma. We don't think about how much pain we're in, how much this is costing us. I hope I'm listening to that. So when you take the Word of God is Spirit. That's in John 6. The Word is Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches and explains the Word to you. So when you read the Word, the Holy Spirit, who's resident in the human spirit, is going to take this Word and make a word deposit and bring you understanding. And then that understanding is going to come up to the mind, which is the soul. And the soul, the mind, and the spirit are to work together, and the flesh is not to interfere. Now, who lets the flesh interfere? Yeah. Now, Abraham had two major interferences. First of all, in chapter 15, God said to Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. God said, I'll be your reward. I'll reward you, Abraham. And Abraham said, I don't even have a son to pass that on to. I don't know what that good... You know, he was... fully meditating on the wrong thing. He said, you do know I don't have a son. And the head of the household, Abraham was very, very wealthy. It says he was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. Now, let me give you the concept. You go back and read Abraham. It's about 10 chapters. It said when Lot was taken by the Midianites, word came to Abraham that Lot, his nephew, had been taken. So he gathered his trained servants to go get Lot. He gathered the men of his household who were equipped to war, who could go and rescue Lot. Do you know how many trained men of war he had on his staff? 318. That doesn't count the cooks. And we've got to have somebody to keep all those babies. 318. Now God said, I'll give you a reward. I'm sure he already felt like he had more than enough. More than enough. And everywhere Abraham went, God increased him. It's just amazing. It's an amazing story. And he said, I'm childless. And Eliezer, that was the head of the household, Eliezer would have inherited the whole estate because he had no child. Now, he's saying to the Lord, I don't know why I would need a reward. I don't even have a child to pass it on to. Now, what caused Abraham's doubt? Huh? He and his wife were barren. His health, or his old age, we could say that, caused him to doubt. But rather than hearing what God is saying, all he heard is, what am I going to do with more money? Now, you and I wouldn't have any problem with that. I'm sure we'd think of something. It was Abraham's age and his childlessness that caused him to doubt the word of the Lord. See, what you meditate on, if it's not God's word, it's going to bring doubt, and doubt is going to bring the manifestation of the very thing that you did not want. Right. You see that? You know why people get divorced? Not all of them. They think about it. They have a troubled marriage or some problem, and they think about, I could just get a divorce. You know, I could just get a divorce. I don't have to live like this. I understand that myself. I've talked to women who were abused. And I'm sure some men are abused because I've seen some real bossy women. However, they think about it and they meditate it until one day it drops into their heart. And from their heart it takes root and it comes into their spirit. Next thing you know, they file from divorce. And divorce starts in the mind every time. And poor health starts in the mind. What am I going to do? I'm not ever getting better. I'm not getting any better. They're charging me a lot of money. They want this this test that costs thousands and thousands of dollars. You've got to put the word in your mind. Abraham had to have said to himself, God is fixing to reward me. But he didn't. He let the wrong thoughts sing into his mind. Now in chapter 17, he's called Abram at first and then Abraham. In chapter 17, God said in verse 4, I've made you a father of many nations. A father of many nations. He wasn't a father at all. Now, he said in verse 17, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. God said, Sarah, you have to understand this. Abraham's 99 years old. And Sarah is 10 years younger. She's 89. It's a little late to raise a kid, don't you think? I'm sure of that. And God said, Sarah will bear your child. And he said, how in the world can this be? Don't you know how old we are? He let his age be a hindrance, and his age sunk into his mind, and when it sinks into your mind and you meditate, you think about it, then it takes root and it manifests. You see that? Now look at Moses. Moses is in Exodus chapter 4, I think. God tells Moses he's going to send him to deliver the people. They've been captive in Egypt for 400 years. And he tells Moses, I'm going to deliver them. And I'm going to send you to be the head deliverer. You're going to take charge. You're going to bring them out of Egypt. That's what God told him. And here's what he said. He's supposed to go to Pharaoh and give Pharaoh the news. We're leaving. As you know, it was news Pharaoh was not interested in. O Lord, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto me. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. He said, you've picked the wrong spokesman. I'm not a good spokesman, and I don't speak clearly. He's telling God this won't work. He's telling God, this isn't going to work. God, have you heard me speak? Now, his speech wasn't, you know, and that includes sometimes our ignorance. Ignorance. His speech was a hindrance, and he was quick to tell God, you know, that won't work. And God said, I love this, I love this, I love this. I'll be with your mouth and teach you what to say. I don't know if you know this, but one of great men of history, great pastors of history, was a stutterer. And they sent him to Bible schools all over the world because they could use him to prove the strength of the anointing. And he'd get up and he'd stutter, blah, you know how stutterers do. And about 5 minutes in, the anointing would drop on him, and he never stuttered again till he quit preaching. And they used him to teach the anointing. Now, God has said to Abram, I'll be with your mouth. So we know from history that would have worked. He said, no. See what you, when you refuse the will and the word of the Lord, or you get weary in well-doing, it is difficult if you're very ill to hang in there. God said, all right, all right. I'll tell you what to say. And you tell Aaron, your brother, and Aaron will do that for you. See, he missed the chance to have the biggest miracle he had ever seen, probably, was that he would be able to speak clearly. But see, he refused the word of the Lord. Even after God said, I'll be with your mouth, that's a pretty big promise. In other words, it's going to be all right. What you meditate in will eventually manifest. Yes. If you meditate in the word comes to pass because it takes root in your spirit. And it comes to your mind, and your spirit and your mind are to work together. Now, let's look at Judges chapter 6. See, this isn't a mistake a few people make. I know you know because you know yourself. If you have never made this mistake, You know why you go to the grocery store with a list? You do remember why you do that? Every older person that we know personally and close up makes two or three or four trips to the grocery store a week. And Wayne and I have suddenly fallen into that trap. I said, where's the pie crust?
Where's the list?
We didn't have a list. You've got a list. It's called the Holy Word of God. And you keep that before your eyes all the time. I don't know how many times this last 2 weeks we've been to the grocery store. I'm a good cook. I'm not an enthusiastic cook. If I never cooked again, I'm happy with that. But I'm a fair cook. But I had to learn that Wayne and I need a list. We need to keep that before our eyes. You need to keep before your eyes, thus saith the Lord. Now in Judges, this is Gideon. They've been taken over by the Midianites. And God calls Gideon to destroy the Midianites. And he was flabbergasted. And he said, it's verse 15. He said unto the Lord, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? How could I save Israel? And here's what he's thinking. My family is poor. In other words, we don't have the resources. You do know we don't have the resources to do this. And then he goes on to say, and I'm the least in my father's house. He said, you have chosen the weakest link in the chain. He said, my family is poor. We don't have the resources. I'm the least means nobody hardly knows who I am, what I do. How am I going to get an army together? He said, no, you've made a mistake. Now, what's his hindrance here? His ability. You know, I've been asked a number of times to do things that I really didn't know how to do. They used to call me every now and then to talk to some lady, and as much as I like to be cooperative, that's not my special gift. especially the lady that, she so breached the scripture, she was so far offline, it wasn't even funny, and I said, well, let me tell you what the Bible says, and I quoted it to her, which I can do, and she said, well, I said, okay, let me read it to you. I could see. So I opened the scripture. I don't always know where they are, but I know where a lot of them are, and I read it to her, and she said, that is not what Mother said. And from that point, she stepped into loss because Mother was wrong. And I said, you know, you need to take your mother to lunch. Talk about the dog, the new sofa, the wallpaper. buy her flowers, help her in her flower bed. Do not talk Jesus with your mother. So you've got to guard your mind because what you meditate in, what you think about, what you ponder will eventually manifest if you don't get rid of that thought if it's not God.
Right.
You've got to get rid of it. And Gideon, here's poor old Gideon. He said, look, my family's poor. Notice, how can I pour this off? And he said, I'm the least, not qualified. And then he said to God, you have to prove this to me. So he's going to fix, he wasn't aware it was God, by the way. He's going to fix him some lunch. And you know how long it takes to go to lunch when you have to go to the field and kill the sheep and roast the sheep? It takes a long time. So this man's sitting here under a tree for a long, long time. And when he comes back, he puts the food on a rock, and the man lights it just right with his fingers, just lights it a fire. See, he asked for proof that what you told me to lead the meeting, I said, you proved to me that's God. You know, God doesn't have any problem validating his word. He sent his word and healed them. Now, look at Jeremiah. Are you having fun?
Yes.
Isaiah, Jeremiah. In verse 5, chapter 1, he said, I formed thee in the belly, and before thou came out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. He's telling Jeremiah, the day you were born, you were a prophet to the nations. And here's Jeremiah's response. Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm just a child. Once again, his speech and his age, he let it be a hindrance to the will of God. You know what I've found? If I don't know what to do, but if I lean into the Spirit, it comes out all right. Because God's more than enough. He's more than enough. He said, I'm just a kid. You're asking a kid to do this. And then we have this wonderful verse in verse 12. Thus saith the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten, which is the word to watch over or to be sleepless. I will hasten my word to perform it. He's telling Jeremiah, I can do this through you. I will keep my word. I will make you a prophet. See, God's word, he's faithful to his word. His word always comes to pass. Now, part of the problem with us sometimes is timing. I meant let's do this today, God. And he doesn't always go for that. Have you noticed? Mm-hmm. Part of that is because you need the time to build your faith. You need to learn from this and build your faith in this, so if something worse comes along, which God knows if it will or it won't, you have stronger faith than you had years ago when you faced this. That's just part of the reason. Well, he said, you know, I'm just a kid. I'm just a kid. Well, there's a lot of 16, 17-year-olds that are preaching and doing a fine job because God is with their tongue. And there was a little boy that was on something. He was about yay high. He might have been 6 at most. And they asked him, would he like to come pray for the people? And he said, mm-hmm. I almost fell out of my chair. Don't ask me to pray when he's in the room. You ask him. He's just a little kid. But God was with his tongue. You see? Whatever God asks you to do, he's going to equip you to do. Don't meditate on how hard it is or why you can't do this or this is not going to work for you or what if I get sicker or what if it's the expense is over the top. I can tell you if you're going with medical science, it probably will be over the top. But God said, did he say I'll supply your need or not?
Yes.
Out of my rib, where is he going to get it from? His riches. I'll get it from to you from my storehouse. That sounds like a good deal. Years ago, we needed a new roof. And so every night at supper, we had our devotions with our kids. We were tried to be very faithful to train our children. And we prayed and asked for the roof. And then every night, we mentioned God to the roof and we thanked him for the roof. Well, we didn't have to ask God, is it your will to give us a roof? Because every time it rained, half of the roof's in the yard. Okay, it's his will. That's a given. And we'd thank him for his roof. Well, in the process of time, a lady sent me a very large check, a lady from out of state. And then later, it wasn't enough, but it was a mighty big deposit. And she said, oh, you know, I just can't stand it. I know it's none of my business, and it was none of her business, but I'm a nice person. What are you going to do with the money? I said, we're going to use it towards our roof. See, God will supply. He'll work with you. His word comes to pass. Don't meditate on why it won't work. Meditate on the God who makes it work.
Yes.
Well, we got a small income tax return. Not enough. And then my brother called. He was a student in Texas, and he did everything that anybody would hire him to do in order to stay in college and seminary. And he said, I'm going to be home for 2 weeks, and I worked for a roofer. That was his part-time job at that juncture. And he said, Wayne and I can take the roof off. So that's how it was worked out. And Wayne called the roofer and said, we have this much money. Can you do my roof if we take it off and get it ready for that month? He said, yes, I can. And so they're taking it off, and the roofer calls. And he said, my crew finished this last job early, and I've got them sitting under a tree for so much an hour. He said, can I bring them to take off your roof? He said, it won't cost you anything. I'll do it for free. Because God's more than enough.
Yes.
I can't meditate. What are we ever going to do? We don't have enough money for a roof. What are we going to do? Trust and obey. What you meditate in will manifest. You better be sure you're meditating in the Word of the living God.
Yes.
You know, we have property. We have large property, and a lot of it's landscaped. Some of it isn't. And every now and then you have to pull up, like every week, pull up weeds, pull up weeds, pull up weeds. That's a really big deal. Have you ever tried that on 5 acres? It's a really big deal. And my part is to make sure that Wayne's watered. I'm not a weed puller. But I have to track him down. Now, he is very faithful. Wayne is a wonderful, wonderful husband. And he's very faithful to leave me notes. And I go to the place where the note is to see where he said he would be. You got that part? And then I get my Propel out or my Power Aid or whatever I'm using, and I get the water ready, and I go track him down. But I found out if I hand him the water, he's going to sit it on the back of the truck and go back to work. See, if you turn loose of the word, you thought I was lost. I'm not lost at all. If you turn loose of the Word of God, you can't turn loose of it. You've got to hold fast. So I found out I take it down, and I say, here's your Propel, and I watch him till he sits down. He knows I hover till he sits down and drinks it. Because if I go back to the house, after a while he comes in from working with the full bottle. Isn't that right, honey? A drinker, Wayne, is not. I'm not talking alcohol. We're alcohol free. We believe in that with all our heart. I'm just talking water, iced tea. See, I've got to hold fast to the Word. Once I know what God is saying, and I don't require a 3-page report from God. I just need to know step one. Now, I've told you this story many, many times, but the Lord kept dealing with me to take my neighbor an apple pie. I bake a unique apple pie. It was a recipe that came from my aunt, and she's in heaven now, and I wasn't enthused about baking apple pie. I hardly know the lady. Now, she talks all the time, but I can't hear her from my acreage. I can't hear her at all, and so I'm waving at her and say, yeah, I have no idea what I just agreed to. No idea at all. And finally, it took me 3 days to obey. Finally, I baked it, and I took it over there. You got to go across the ditch, which sometimes has water and sometimes doesn't. And I go across the ditch and around the front of her house and knock on the door, and she answers the door, and I said, I baked you an apple pie. And she was very surprised because we hardly knew one another. She said, come in, just come in. And she put it in the kitchen. She came in and started talking to me. And I'm looking across the piano. And across the piano are a picture of 3 children. And I call their name. She said, how did you, those are my grandchildren. How did you know their name? I said, because I was their babysitter. And Daddy lived at 304 and they lived at 308. See, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy. You've got to hang on to what God has said. You've got to obey and commit yourself to His Word and not let anything, don't let your age interfere. You know how old Moses was when God called him to lead the people to the land of Canaan? He was 80. That's a little old to start a journey on foot that far, I think. God uses old people, but He uses young people. You should have heard this little fellow after he finished praying. You should have heard him preach. Oh, my, I was just absolutely flabbergasted. You've got to walk by faith, not by sight. Now, look at Romans 8. What happened to Peter when Jesus told him he was going to be crucified? He said, no. That's not the right thing to do. And sometimes with our actions and with our words, we contradict the Word. You know, if you learn to keep the Word in little things, when we tell Suzanne she lives in Auburndale, we'll be there at 8:30. She knows we're going to be there from 8:25. I say 8:30-ish. I learned that from the cabinet man that redid our kitchen. Never say 8:30 unless you're going to be there exactly at 8:30. I say we're going to be at 8:30-ish, which means we're going to be there at 8:25 to 8:35. I always give myself 10 to 15 minute slot so that I don't contradict my word. You see that? It's what does God say? Okay, Romans 8. Verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind or do concentrate on the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you're born again, you are spirit. Your spirit has eternal life. You've been redeemed to God. And you're one who follows the Spirit, follows the Holy Spirit as He explains the Word, which is Spirit, and fills your heart, your spirit man, full of the Word so that your spirit and your soul can work together. And so we're not flesh people here. Flesh is for red lights. The stop signs. But it's not for thus saith the Lord. Yeah. Now, look at the next verse, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. Carnal is of the flesh. You know carnivores are flesh eating. To carnally minded, that's my mind and my flesh are operating together. And guess where I'm going to end up? It says, I'm headed towards death. I'm going to be headed in the wrong direction. My mind has to be in union with my spirit, with the Word of God, with what God has said to me. And I've got to meditate that and think about that and extricate from my mind anything that contradicts thus saith the Lord. Because to meditate is to manifest. I've said that before today. And so if I'm meditating on the wrong thing's going to manifest. To be carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded is life. Where does life come from? Where does peace come from? How does the Word manifest? It's when my spirit and my mind are operating together. My spirit has revelation from heaven, and my spirit and my mind are in union about that revelation. And then I begin, instead of speaking of the trauma, and don't look at me like I've never been traumatized, the stories I could tell you. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the first thing, if I don't have peace, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to check my mind. What am I thinking about? How difficult this is? How long it's going to take? How much money it's going to cost me? Been there and done that. Spiritually minded. And then it says, verse 12, brethren, that's you. Everybody in the scriptures are brethren. That's okay. We're debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. So you don't owe your flesh nothing. Wow. It's the house that carries your spirit, and you keep it in good shape because you need your spirit functioning at top condition. Let me read to you again. To live after the flesh, you shall die. If you through the spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's the next verse. Through the spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. In other words, I don't let my body tell me what God is saying. Now, your body says some things are important. If you have a temperature and it says you have a temperature, then you take that to the spirit. You take that for the direction of God. What do I need to do now? Do I need a clinic? Do I need a doctor? Do I just need over-the-counter? Do I need some... You take that to the spirit. So the body has some use. It's not idle, but it doesn't lead. The body does not lead. The spirit leads. Yes. You see that. As many as are led, verse 14, many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now look at Galatians. Who's in charge? God's in charge. And where does He send His information to? And what do you do with it? You meditate on it long enough to send it to your mind to make sure your mind's in sync. Okay, Galatians. Chapter 5 it is. Verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust is strong desire for that which is forbidden, strong desire for that which isn't going to work well for you. Now, it can be a good thing, but generally in the Scripture, 99% of the time, it's a very bad thing. You can desire something that would really work. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill. That's what we want, isn't it? We don't want to fulfill these things. We don't want these wild thoughts. We don't want this irritation, this distress to dominate my mind. And it says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Now, that's a capital S, but it doesn't have to be a capital S because there's only one word for Spirit if it's your spirit or the Holy Spirit's all one word in the Scriptures. Same thing. It's not the flesh lusting with the Holy Spirit, because that would be a battle you lost already. It's the flesh, my flesh, and my spirit My spirit's challenged by my flesh. It's the fight of the flesh to dominate and to take control. You see that? And then it says the spirit against the flesh. The spirit's trying to put the flesh under its foot and say, no, 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 no. I just sing that to Ashley. No, 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 no. When she was real little. She was with us, and Suzanne has worked for us a long time. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. And one day she looked me in the eye and she said, yes, 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 yes. You cannot yield to the flesh. You have to find out what God is saying and put what God is saying in your mind and take control of your flesh. It says the flesh and the spirit are at war. But if the flesh or spirit are at war, it's the spirit that has to win. And then down further in this chapter, verse 24, magnificent verse. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Have done what with the flesh?
Crucified.
Done what with the flesh?
Crucified.
With its affections and lusts. That word could mean with its passions, with its desire. The flesh has a plan. But it says crucify. Just go ahead and crucify that plan. And yield to the Spirit. To meditate in the wrong thing is to cause the manifestation of the wrong thing. A lot of times I can tell you why things didn't work out for us. Because your mind was on the loss and not on what the Lord could do. You see that? Meditation brings manifestation. And if it's meditation on what's wrong, illegal, immoral, and really dumb, that's my three categories. It's actually Suzanne that added really dumb. I used to say illegal, immoral, and she said, Mom, you need to add really dumb. And then I talked to some people and I thought, yeah, we do need to add really dumb. If that's where I let my mind sit, every single day I'm closer to bringing that to pass, and that is not the thing I wanted. That's how I look back at my life. I know some things happened. I don't know why. You know, first thing we did is, I don't know why God didn't. He cannot override. He will not override. He could. He won't. So if I was disturbed and worried, the first thing I do, the first thing you do when you're disturbed and worried is to check your mind. Where's your mind? What's it thinking? Have you crucified the flesh, or have you let the flesh influence the mind? Have you let the flesh tell your mind where you are in life? Y'all got that? Everybody got that? If I assign you a 3-page report, you can do that? Now what we're going to do is going to uproot any thought you had that was of the flesh that was keeping your faith from functioning.
Yes.
Now I'm going to make a confession. You repeat after me. Now you take a minute, think about where has your mind been that it shouldn't have been. See, when we were re-roofing the house, it had been really easy to concentrate on what if that roof continues to fall off and it leaks into my house and destroys my ceiling. Been real easy to park there.
Yeah.
The flesh parks you in a no parking zone.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
You got in your mind. You know where you've been that you shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Say, Father, I come in Jesus' name. To uproot this fleshly thought and replace it with the Word of the Living God. Knowing that you always answer prayer. That you've got my dilemma under control. And I will not worry. I will not meditate on wrong things. I'm going to pull it up right now. Like a weed, and replace it with your word. I will meditate on your word day and night. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.